Well, if the song sounded familiar, that's Isolé, the Fijian farewell. And if the voices were familiar, they are not the typical sound that you hear on the beach. That was just four people, the Seekers. And, of course, Judith Durham, very noticeable there. And we play that because Chef Lance Seeto, who grew up in Melbourne, now calls Fiji home. And he's a TV celebrity and a cookbook author over there. Back in Melbourne briefly on a Fiji government trade mission, Lance told Veronica Matheson about his latest role at the recently opened Malamala, is that correct?
Malamala
Beach Club, and how Fijians are making healthier food choices.
I'm about to talk to Chef Lance Seeto, who's visiting Melbourne from his home in Fiji.
I've been there 9 years now from Melbourne, and I didn't intend staying that long, but it just happened. I was just in a right place, right time. I discovered happiness, I found my place in the world, and yes, part of the problem was when I got there and discovered such great food and discovered that the Fijians were quite sick. So doing a lot of research, I worked out, and the government has worked out, that they're eating too much of the Western food. So it's kind of been incumbent on chefs like me, expat chefs, to go over and educate Fijians on how else to cook their local foods.
I would have thought that the islanders would have lived mostly on fish like mahi-mahi and fruits such as melons and coconuts, which are so plentiful in Fiji.
Well, that was a traditional diet. The traditional diet was quite pescatarian, so seafood, vegetables and fruit. But over the years, over the decades, as Western cultures creeped in, Fijians are finding it, just like us, I guess, more convenient and cheaper to eat processed foods. But unfortunately for them, they're a native civilization. So their whole genetics and DNA are not accustomed to deal with all the downside of processed foods. So what's ironic is that they've got their fresh food. It's on their doorstep. It's in their sea. So they've still got the ability to go back to a more traditional diet. Overall, we think it's working because we can see now the number of young cooks coming through the education system. Cooking now has become more sexy, whereas before it was seen as quite a laborious job. Seeing now an increase in more healthier cafes and takeaways. Yes, television shows like mine are having an impact just by giving Fijians a more of an awareness of what is healthy. I mean, if you're a villager out in the middle of nowhere, limited access to technology and all that, how does the government explain to them to eat healthy when they're surrounded by all the processed food? So that's been the challenge, but it's just been about education.
And you're still cooking with some of the traditional cooking methods that they've used over wood fires.
Look, I love all that. I mean, all that is, for us travellers and us Westerners, all of that style of food is new. That ancient way and its ancestral techniques handed down from the Polynesians and all that sort of thing. To us, that's old as gold, I guess. And yes, I'm trying to re-embrace that, reteach the Fijians as well as the chefs in the resorts that we need to embrace those old ways. Not everyone's got electricity, so it is easier to store tinned foods.
Yeah, but you could go out fishing, couldn't you, and get some wonderful fish.
Well, that's why I'm saying it's about the education. The ancestors knew about the health. The new generation now who process foods are appealing. You know, they're sweeter, of course, and they've got more preservatives, so they're more tasty, and sometimes they're more cheaper. So it's just getting them to the knowledge where we've got the strain now, where we understand, but our balance of food should be more towards healthy.
And I guess you're high profile with your Tastes of Paradise TV series, and you've got a newspaper column, that they've all helped change those old habits.
As I was saying at the start, I've found a purpose now. All that hard work and all that knowledge now can be shared with a nation that was desperately in need for some direction. Fiji, I guess, saved my life in a lot of ways, because I was at a point in my life 9-10 years ago where quite depressed and had no direction. And for me, it's a payback, I guess. The simplicity in the Fijian cuisine, I would say it's a reflection on their whole lifestyle, just that simplicity. But the simplicity in the food allows that freshness and the subtleties to come through. So for our palates that are used to such complexity in, I guess, processed foods, it's mind-blowing.
And yet simple works, doesn't it? I saw one of your recipes that you featured sea grapes. Tell me about those.
Oh, well, sea grapes, they're in abundance in Fiji. So they're a relative of the seaweed. We kind of call them the caviar of the sea because they're like little bubbles or nodules of seawater in a tiny, tiny grape form. And we use those in salads. There are people now who have started to dehydrate that, so we're using it as a salt now. So, yeah, like a natural resource that wasn't really appreciated, but now it is, yeah.
And it's really quite easy to get, is it?
It's in abundance. It's everywhere. Someone has to go out and just to get it, just pick it from the ocean because they sit along the sand.
So it looks like a tiny grape, but it's salty as opposed to sweet.
Correct. You serve it raw.
Yeah.
You serve it raw. So when you eat it, texturally, you get that crunch, the bubbles, and then just the burst of seawater. Yeah.
And you've also probably added Indian and Chinese touches to your dishes, as so many Fijians have those ethnic backgrounds.
Well, yeah, well, that's what I think that's what makes it unique. You've got that unique culture of the Polynesians, Melanesians, so the Pacific Island flavors. Then uniquely, you've got the Indian and the Chinese flavors. So there's no place in the world that has that combination of culture. So that's been the starting point for a lot of the new dishes, where you can take things like your coconut and then the techniques like curing, smoking, and then now you then meld that with tempering of the spices, you know, and then you got the flame wok, the technique in Chinese. So that those three major components are what I think are going to be the future of the cuisine that we're going to see coming out.
Yeah.
I've been lucky enough to have travelled to virtually every island in Fiji now. I've got a good understanding of the ancestral techniques. And for me now, tourism-wise, there's an opportunity now for Fiji. I mean, it's on our doorstep. But not only that, our farmers have got the opportunity to join in. I liken Fiji right now to what Hawaii was 20 years ago. Hawaii had the same issues 20 years ago where there was no direct links with the farmers and the chefs. So we're looking to change that very soon, we hope. I believe in the future, Fiji should be a nation of rich farmers and rich landowners because we've got the ability to grow things.
So what happens at the moment? Is everything imported?
Well, no, not everything's imported. I think the latest stats I saw, about half of our produce that we use throughout the resorts and the restaurants is imported. Mm. So that's not too bad. That's half. It's not majority. But that other half that we are importing, I mean, that's money that potentially could go to the Fijians, the farmers and the landowners. But it's a matter of educating because things like, for example, dragon fruit. We've only just started growing dragon fruit, and it's an amazing product out of Fiji because you've got volcanic soil and pristine waters. But not every farmer, especially the Indo-Fijian farmers, not every one of them knows what a dragon fruit is.
So what do? Do you go out and talk to the farmers?
So, yes. So we've begun that. The majority of the expat chefs in the country, and there's probably about 20-odd of us, we've all started to meet now regularly and start to think, okay, we need to change this. We need to go back to the farmer who doesn't eat our food. He doesn't know what things like dragon fruit are for or what they are. We need to go back to tell them, look, we'll take 2 tons, 5 tons of that at the end of the harvest period. So then the farmer then has an understanding of, I don't know what it is, but I've got a customer,
yeah.
So I'm going to start planting.
When you talk about Fijian lifestyle, what is it, very relaxed and friendly and rewarding?
They don't see the world like we do, and part of it has to do with their whole cultural history. You've got to understand what happened there to understand why it's like that today. So essentially a British colony,
yeah,
that the British decided not to displace. I mean, we compare it to our Aboriginal story. It was completely different. So the British decided, we'll leave them alone. We'll leave their culture in place. We'll leave their land ownership in place. We will share the land with the Fijians. And here we are in the 21st century, and they're the most happiest country in the world. So the way they see the world, they own their land. So all those issues that we have, the issues of money and needing money, their culture's intact. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I've discovered the secret to happiness through the Fijians.
Yeah.
The message is a sense of belonging. If you know what tribe you belong to, if you know your history, if you know all that past of a people, then those insecurities that we have as a Western, like as a Western civilization, they don't exist anymore, because you know who you are. They're happy in themselves. So they're not worried about what's happening overseas. They're not worried about if they've got no money for tomorrow.
Which might be a bit difficult if you're trying to persuade the farmers to make, you know, to grow crops to make lots of money.
Well, yeah, but they don't have that same drive to make money here like the rest of us do. If they make enough, then they've got enough.
Which is a lovely philosophy to have.
But they've got the ability to live virtually very, very cheaply compared to us.
So now you originally went to Fiji to Castaway Island.
Yes.
Now where are you, Tom?
I'm on Mala Mala. So it's a new beach club. So we built about 12 months ago now the world's first dedicated island beach club. So modelled on a lot of the beach clubs in Bali and Europe. It's just a place to go to just chill, have some really good food, drinks in an environment that's just a small tropical island that's only 30 minutes out from Port Dinaround, the main marina. We've been getting some great feedback on the food. The food is all the philosophy that we've been talking about, in a place where it's just white sandy beaches, the day beds and just blue sea.
It sounds divine and very relaxing. Can you stay on the island if you want to?
No, it's no overnight. It's just a day trip island. So the idea is, look, you're staying in whatever hotel or resort, or, you know, it doesn't matter if you're staying in a six-star or the backpackers. It's just a chance to get off the main island or an island when you're staying and just going somewhere else and luxuriating for a day.
So you could get the ferry in the morning, spend the whole day there, and then get back to your hotel in time for dinner.
That's it. Or if I've done a good job, you're too full to have dinner.
That was celebrity chef Lance Seto, who grew up in Melbourne but is now executive chef at Mala Mala Beach Club, a day trip destination from Fiji's Port Denarau, which has been described as the hottest new experience in Fiji.
I can't wait to go there.
You want to go back there, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.